The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast. We bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives.
And then we use those stories as inspiration for long-form comedic improvised scenes.
That's right. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov, where you can support the show, get access to our extra episodes, and a t-shirt store. Where we have literally just our logo on shirts. So how's that for a hard sell? Before we go into the show, we have a little bit of something we want to acknowledge. It's a bit of a downer, but we'll pick it back up. Jake and I each had the privilege of teaching a student recently. I've had her in class for a few years. Her name's Blair. We both went to a memorial yesterday. I don't know how to do this the most sensitive way. We went to her memorial yesterday. She took her own life about a month or so ago. It was rough. I would say that memorial was the saddest thing I've been a part of this whole year. I feel odd bringing it up at a podcast, but I do feel like it's worth acknowledging. And I just wanted to say that I know people are feeling lonely and or whatever in this fucked up year. And I hope that, if you're feeling that way, or whatever way, that you can find some sort of help or recognize what it is. Because I would just say that Blair was a person that like was so obviously bright, funny, smart, like appreciated. And if she got to, I don't even want to comment on what happened, but it took me totally by shock. And mental illness is mental illness. And I hope that if you're listening to that or feeling down in this time, that you can recognize that and maybe get help or reach out. I just started therapy last week. You know, there's I don't have anything divine or whatever to say. There's a fundraiser in her memory for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we'll be sharing that link this week. So look out for that. I also shared it on my personal Twitter, so you can find it all there. I just wanted to say, Jake, do you want to say anything? I know I kind of rambled on there.
Yeah, I think that was well said. It was really hard being at the memorial, but I was also, people were leaving. It was all on virtual, obviously, and people were leaving chats or memories and things in the chat, and Blair had really touched a lot of people's lives, and they had so many sweet and loving and profound things to say about her, and I know that that if whatever you're going through, you have likely made an impact on someone's life, and you shouldn't feel any sort of way about reaching out to people. And I know that's the hardest thing to do. I think that that's why this is so difficult, is there seems to be a lot of hurdles in between, like needing the help and accessing the help. But knowing that there are people out there who care about you, and people are all in difficult times right now. And I think like we're all just trying to find ways to extend a little extra patience or love or kindness or generosity, and would do so at the drop of the hat for anyone who needs it. Wishing everybody the best during a very difficult time, and extending sort of a virtual a hand or olive branch or whatever the term is, to say that, like, if it's not me, it's someone. There's always someone that cares deeply and wants to help if they can. So, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, me neither. But I thought you did pretty good there, Jake. We'll put the fundraiser link in all our socials. And now we're going to start the show. No easy way to do that. But luckily, we have two great guests today. Two people I admire. And let's just introduce them. First, we have a first-time guest, someone I've been meaning to have on for a while. From Baby Wants Candy and all sorts of other stuff, musical improv specialist, but not today.
Thank God.
I'm still a specialist, but we might not.
Thank God.
It's Ashley Ward, everybody.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to not be singing.
Well, we might end up doing it now just because we've talked so much about it.
No.
Thanks for being on. And second, a teammate of mine on the Teacher's Lounge, returning guest. I want to pull an obscure one for you. The Ladies of Ann Taylor's Loft.
Yes.
Oh, good.
It's not really obscure. But
I sat in with that show once. Do you remember that, Jess, when I first moved here?
Yes. I love that show. It was
so fun.
It's Jess Easton Allen, everybody. Yay! Welcome, Jess Easton.
Hi. Oh my God, so many names.
I remember them all.
You do. Allen is my maiden name that you put last, but who cares?
Is it supposed to be the other way? I feel like your email.
I don't even use Allen anymore, but it doesn't matter because everyone I know from New York calls me Jess. It doesn't matter. People are like, who are you? And I'm like, you'll never find me. And that's how I like it.
You'll never find me.
I'm so bad at that stuff.
Important thing as an actress to be unfindable.
That's right. That's why my career is at its zenith.
There's a lot to talk about, I guess, this week. We just already did some depressing stuff, so maybe I don't know. Maybe we can flip it.
Nice. I see what you did there.
I have a question for you, Jasmine. Maybe we can get to the news of the day. You worked with The Big Show.
Yes.
I know as a wrestler with just a devastating choke slam.
Yes, I learned all of this. I don't know the WWE at all. I grew up, humble brag, even though it's not about me. I went to school with John Cena.
Wow.
So with the Cena brothers, and Steve Cena was in my class. So not as cool as John. In fact, Steve, bless his heart. Everyone had to stop following him on Facebook because he was always so depressed. It was always like, I'm finally in, what was that? Little Shop of Horrors. He had like a whole thing about how he wanted to get in this community theater, Little Shop of Horrors, and he wasn't getting the right parts. And it was like, Steve. And like, meanwhile, John Cena's his brother. I mean, right? This is tough. So that's Steve. And so anyways, I know John Cena, and then he's like this huge, obviously, celebrity, to the point that people I know are like, oh, my kids are dressing up as John Cena for Halloween, which is so weird. You're like, John Cena. Anyway, I get a writing job, thank goodness, in 2019. And it's about this wrestler called The Big Show. And the show is called The Big Show Show. More sad news, not much lower level. Our show is canceled.
Oh, aww. I thought it was coming back.
Sorry.
Me too. I wanted to come back too, but it didn't. Anyway, it was an awesome show. He was so nice. He is so tall. I have pictures of him with his hand. He did like he pretended to do the choke slam on me. His hand is like the it's bigger than my neck. It's crazy. But he's very nice. And he's actually he was very funny. Like one of our showrunners who I love was like, listen, we're going to write this show. And we're going to find out on the first table read or the first time we're up whether we're going to get a second season, which it is, it goes or not, because either this guy can act or he can't. But the whole show is about him, so we don't have a choice. Like, we're not going to recast, right, the big show. It's his WWE is who is, like, it's Netflix and WWE making the show. And then it was great. And so it was, he was so funny, and he was so, like, dedicated. And, yeah, but watching young tape of him, he was crazy.
Yeah. I remember his debut way back in the WCW.
What's the difference?
It was just a rival wrestling organization. Like, Ted Turner owned it. So, like, when it's a whole thing. But Vince McMahon is still the owner of the WWE now, that used to be the WWF. And I think Ted Turner saw, like, oh, looks like good business. So he basically started a wrestling, you know, league himself that was out of Atlanta. And he almost, like, took down the WWF. It's a whole thing. But basically, the big show is supposed to be like Andre the Giant, like the second coming of, like, Andre the Giant a little bit.
It's like a Marvel DC situation.
A little bit, yeah. But except for if, like, during the height of it, like, famous people from the WWF would get paid more money, and they would go to the WCW. So, like, Hulk Hogan switched. So it'd basically be like if Iron Man went to, like, DC or something.
Well, it's like the NFL, and then there was the AFL? What was it called? The one where, like, Herschel Walker was on the New Jersey Generals or whatever. I'm from Georgia. So Herschel Walker is, like, the college football player that anyone cared about when I was growing up.
Yeah, there used to be the AFL, I think. AFC?
Is AFL. It the UFL?
Well, there was AFL. XFL.
Yeah, this was like they tried to do a rival NFL, which, like, now seems so insane, in the same way that maybe having a rival WWF sounds insane. Except, I don't know, it feels like a bigger scale. Anyway, it was a failed proposition because Donald Trump was involved in it, and therefore, as a business, it failed. I think he owned the Generals, which is the team that drafted Herschel Walker for, like, a gazillion dollars, because Herschel Walker is, like, the most special player. I don't know.
I think you must be talking about the AFL way back when.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Okay,
it was
in the 80s,
and Donald Trump, I think, owned the New Jersey Generals, or was I'm sure he was a partial owner, and then, you know, whatever he touches turns to a pile of dog shit, and that followed suit.
Well, they did do the XFL more recently. Like,
right, but that's not football, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
And they did it.
Is it
they
just
did,
like, it with knives? Extreme football.
Pretty much. Like, honestly, they did stuff where, like, the kickoff was different. So, like, they would, like, kick the ball a little ways, and two players from each team would, like, go and run at it. And the first ever kickoff, like, ended with someone getting really hurt.
No!
You don't do it that way. That was, like, during the 2000s. And then just this year, they started it up again. And like, got through half of their season before COVID shut everything.
Yeah, you can't be extreme football. You can barely do regular football during COVID, so you certainly couldn't do extreme. Weirdly, Jess, I did a video with John Cena. You're talking about going to school with him. I did this video where we improvised. It was for this thing, Fast Company. I don't know if you know this website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a magazine.
Periodically do these videos. And so I did this one with John Cena where it was like he was teaching me how to do a job interview, but it was completely improvised. And he was so good and so funny.
He's very funny. I mean, like,
and
yeah,
so large, because we were sitting in chairs opposite each other and they wanted us really close together. And so it was like my knees were inside of his knees. I was like, he could murder me. Like, and not even mean to, not even like in a rage. Like, he hugs me at the end of the video. And in the video, I'm going like, I was so scared, and like sort of fake crying, but it wasn't that fake. I was so scared because our faces were so close together and he's so huge. It was intimidating, but he was also so, so funny. Like, we improvised for like 15 minutes straight. We had to stop at one point because we both got tickled and we started laughing, so we had to stop. But then we went for like, and then they were just like, all right, just go back. We did it for like 15 minutes. And then the video is like, you know, two. But he was a doll.
That's awesome.
So wait, did you like do plays with the Cenas? Were they like theater geeks?
No. No, they were not geeks.
Famous nerds.
Yeah, famous Steve nerds. Cena. Steve, I mean, listen, honestly, my friends, well, just whatever. We weren't nice to John, not to John, Steve Cena, which, you know what?
Just had a bite of food.
The crispiest toast I've ever heard.
Sorry.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Very sorry.
No. Yeah, Steve, I feel bad because I mean, Steve was, I don't know how to say it, not popular.
Nailed it.
And in like sixth grade or something, we used to do this thing. The girls weren't nice. We would set up a thing where we put our desk almost together and then we put our legs out and we make Steve run through our legs where we'd like flap on his butt and go, Steve. It was mean.
I know. A spanking machine.
It was like a spanking machine. Like, but also, where was our teacher? Like, Mr. Helbig, that was his name, should have, but he was super old. I had a couple teachers. I don't know if you ever had these. I had two teachers growing up where they should never have been teaching. Like, they were both super old and they were just holding on. Like, it was like their last year before retirement and they didn't give a fuck. Like, they were like, we don't care if you learn anything. My second was my geometry teacher in like seventh or eighth grade, whatever. No, how old that ninth grade? He didn't teach us anything. He would sit at the front and read a paper the whole class. He would make fun of us, like in a loving kind of way, but he just also didn't care. Like every test was an open book test. He was like, I don't care. So I don't know any geometry. When I tell you nothing, I don't know. He just was like, I don't care. And we all passed. We all got like B's.
That's nice, at least.
Phoning it in, Mr. Zim.
I feel like I had the opposite where the good teachers would like retire the year before our class. Like people would be like, wait till you get Mr. Friedel or whatever. And then he would retire and we'd get a brand new teacher who was like, I'm figuring this out. It happened like 3 years in a row. And it's like, I have friends who are a grade above me and a grade below me. And it's like their English, their like composition was way better than mine. Kept getting the new teachers who were like, I'm trying, but I'm very bad at this. And it's like, yeah, whatever class you're in, there's like a sweet spot where you get a teacher who's like still excited to do it and has the experience and isn't burnt out yet. And then everybody on either end is like, I got the burned out teacher or the brand new one. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I used to always think those teachers were cool, like the burnt out ones.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Janan is
at the time
awesome.
I did.
And then like now I'm like.
Yeah. Now I'm like, wait, oh, I don't know anything.
Yeah, I paid for that. I think.
We had an old.
Go.
Oh, just in eighth grade, we had this science teacher named Mrs. Mayo, and she was pretty old, but she was into teaching us. Like, that was how we learned the order of the planets. My very educated mother just served us 9 pizza pies. Is that how y'all learned it, the song?
No, but I love that.
My very educated mother just served us 9 pizza pies. That was how we learned it. Anyway, they tortured her. I mean, constantly tortured her. Because so like whenever we were talking about Uranus, because we're learning about the planets, they would just ask, it would be like 20 minutes of questions about like, so is Uranus hot, Miss Mayo? And she would like, well, yes, compared to Earth. Like, so they would just ask a million Uranus questions and she never caught on. Like, I'm like, you've been doing this a long time. This class, Mike Mostek is not the smartest person on Earth. I know other people have asked these questions. But she never caught on. She just would be like, oh, we've got to move on to Pluto.
Wait, what's the second P and what?
There's not pie? One. That was the big debate, too. We were like, is pizza pie a word? Because also we're Southern. So we're just calling it pizza. I guess back in the day. I mean, this video was maybe from like the 60s. The video that we watched that had the song. And I'm probably the only person in my class who remembers it. Because I was just like, this is great. This is always going to help me.
I had something like that, but I can't remember what it was. It was like my very, it wasn't educated mother, but it was like.
It was helpful. It was a good mnemonic device. But then, yeah, pizza pies. It's like, And now Pluto doesn't count, or it does again. I don't know. I can't keep track of Pluto, and it's
Pluto's not
status.
So now it'd be my very educated mother.
Just served us nine.
So that kind of still works.
Sure.
Real quick, any other? Did anyone else go to school with anyone famous or anything like that?
I did. Weird. My Jack McBrayer is my best friend. I went to homecoming and prom with him.
Oh, wow.
We went to high school together. So he moved to my town in 10th grade. And for whatever reason, so he was there first day of 10th grade. For whatever reason, that year, because I went to school with the same people from like kindergarten up through high school for the most part, you know, there was a split off at one point, but mostly it was all of the same people. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, the first day of 10th grade, I said, I'm going to introduce myself to all the new students today. Because I knew I would recognize, I would be like, oh, I've never seen this person. They're obviously new. And so I went up to him. I think it was the second person I introduced myself to that day. And I was just like, hey, my name's Ashley. You're new. What's your name? And he was like, talked kind of quiet. And he was like, my name's Chuck. And I was like, Chuck. Hey, Chuck. It's nice to meet you. And he's like, no, it's Chuck. I was like, Chuck. That's what I'm saying. Chuck. And he's like, my name is Chuck. I was like, is it truck? I don't know. He's like, it's Jack. Like, oh, Jack. Okay. So that was our inauspicious meeting. But we're still very, very dear friends to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
And he took me to prom sophomore year. Oh. Oh, wait, no. Sophomore year, I went with my boyfriend. Junior year, he took me to prom because I thought this other guy was going to ask me, and he asked someone else, and I was really upset. And then he came over and really sweetly asked me to prom. It was really nice.
That's
to
sweet.
Bail me out of not having to go or not being able to go.
That's nice. Sweet. Jake, you got
no.
Anyone come to mind?
No. I always meet people and they're like, oh, this person went to my high school. And I'm like, I feel like no. Like, I'm always like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, I know it has no weight bearing on where people end up, but I'm always like, I got literally nobody.
That means you're going to be the famous person that everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's, right.
That's,
right.
That's what it means. That's what it means.
To work, Jake.
Okay.
I went to school with one guy who ended up playing for the Chicago Bears. I didn't know
That's
him very
awesome.
Well. Not if you're a Packer fan. but I was in a prom group with Olympic gold medalist Paul Hamm he's a gymnast.
Whoa. Oh, nice.
In your prom group?
So one of my friends was dating him.
Oh, like who rode to prom together and all that.
And we like hung out and whatever that night. But right. I was also a gymnast before that, so I knew of him, but you know.
You were a gymnast?
I was a gymnast for 10 years.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I can still do a backflip.
Tumbling.
What made you give it up?
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
it was taking up like I was going like 5 to 6 days a week for like 3 hours. Yeah. Then I was like 11 or 12. And like I remember one specific night there was like a birthday party at a skating rink and I had to go to the gym and I was like, this sucks. And also I got hurt. Like I hurt my hip.
Ooh. Does it still cause problems to this day?
A little bit, not much though. I think it was a nerve thing, honestly. But it hurt enough where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Were your parents sad or glad?
I was gonna say, yeah, when you were like, I'm out.
They were a little sad. They made me finish the season.
Well, yeah, that sounds right.
But actually, funny enough, is like, because I was hurt my last meet, everyone's parents would always bring like a camcorder and like record them or whatever. But for the last meet, I took the camcorder and started like making videos. And I was like, huh, like looking back on that, I'm like, I sort of did what I like to do.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Even back then. So
Aww.
I can still do cartwheels and a backhand spring.
That's impressive.
Yeah. helps to be drunk and or trying to impress someone.
that helps in all manners. So we put together the cast list. I know some of you guys are going to be disappointed.
I will. I'm so excited. I'll take any role. Any role.
Well, you know, I think you're look, Steve.
Yes, Miss Lizette. Let me just tell you, I have enjoyed every show you've put up here.
I know.
Love that you did Follies. I love that you did Assassins. I love that you, I mean, you have done so much of the Sondheim catalog. And I know that this year is Sweeney Todd, and Steve is so close to the name Sweeney. I just know it's going to work out.
That's not how casting works. If it was,
sometimes.
Tom Hanks wouldn't have been Forrest Gump. Forrest Whitaker would have been.
I would have watched that
too. You see the logic there?
Well, Steve,
we are doing Sweeney Todd, and unfortunately, yes, even though the cast
I will take
50,
the part.
Yes, it is.
Thank
you. Steve, you're not listening. The cast is 50 members strong. We could not find a place for you because famously the chorus of Sweeney Todd is quite large. And
I'm sorry, you cast 50 people and I am not in the show?
That is correct. But we would love to have you backstage.
Hey, is this where the cast of Sweepy Todd is meeting?
Oh my God, Reg, you're here. Our Sweeney Todd, everyone.
Reg?
Oh my gosh, you're so excited.
Reg just moved here and he only plays, he's on JV basketball.
I know, he's tall and imposing like Sweeney Todd should be when he wields his razor high.
I have a real razor. I had it made for the audition. I have it right here.
I know, you sliced up your leg badly. It was not very profesh. Please don't bring professional razors, real razors, to an audition. Very frightening.
I don't know what this, how this works or whatever, but if it's anything like karaoke where I got to read stuff, I'm not great at that. So,
oh, I love your humor. It's not at all like karaoke. You'll read stuff ahead of time, learn it, and then you'll say it from your head as though it came from your heart.
As if it lives in your heart. It's nothing. Karaoke is for losers and people that live in suburbia. Sweeney Todd is for people with souls and vision, which is me. Miss Lizette, you're making a huge mistake.
How dare you question me? You did not see Reg's audition. He came in and sang the opening lyrics to Circle of Life from Lion King, in the original Zulu. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. His voice was resonant and clear.
I actually just kind of bashed my shin on one of the choir risers on my way in, and I was looking for my football. Kind of, I lost my football in the hallway, but you know, I'll take whatever I got. I guess if you liked how I wailed and sung, then I guess I'll take the part.
Oh, method! I love it. You really got your
Ivan Git. Ivan Git brought in from Russia for play.
Yes, Ivan, we're so thrilled to have you. We're going to do some non-traditional casting, and you are going to be playing Mrs. Lovett, who is ultimately the love interest of Sweeney Todd. Yes, you're perfect.
Ivan, know a script translation into Russia for me?
You know, I just want you to learn it phonetically, honestly. You don't need to know what it means, what the words mean. If you just know the sounds, I think it's really going to resonate.
I have so many Miss Lovett wigs. I have multiple wigs made by wig people. Like, these are real. These aren't from, like, Spencer's. Are you crazy, Miss Lizette? I'm going to get my mom down here.
Your mom approved this casting. You know, your mom is the producer of our community theater. I have to run all casting decisions past her. And she said, Steve can't hack it. So that's from your mother's mouth.
Ivan can only rehearse 20 minutes, rest of time, spying.
Perfect. We only need you for 20. Again, you're just going to do it phonetically. And then you spend your time spying or scampering, whatever you wish, Ivan.
We're so fine, but I might dabble in scampering.
We're thrilled to have you with the US of A. So sorry, Steve.
I have a question about my character.
Oh, yes.
Steve mentioned Spencer's gifts earlier.
Yes.
Can my character, my character likes the band 311, right?
If that is your truth as Sweeney, then of course your character loves the band 311.
That's great, because that's the only music I know. So if I have to sing anything, I'll be singing 311, or you better start hitting me in the shins.
We can do. I love your attitude, Reg. It's going to be, this is going to be such a wonderful process.
Hey, Steve, can you get us some string cheese?
Ah, oh, yes, please. String cheese for everyone, Steve.
I have string cheese on me all the time. I can't. Here, take a string cheese. Take a string cheese. Yes. My mom goes to Costco all the time. Miss Lizette, I'm going to show up the night of the show. I shouldn't tell you this because you might. Well, now I'm. Oh, I shouldn't tell you my plan, right? God damn it. I always tell my plan and then I get caught because I told my plan.
Steve, you have to be there the night of the show. You're working backstage. You're doing all the quick changes. There's a lot of quick changes in this show. It's a total reinvention of Sweeney Todd.
Well, maybe some of the costumes won't fit and only fit Steve. Me.
I doubt that sincerely.
We cut to Ivan back at in St. Petersburg. So what did you learn? Sent you undercover.
I learned Steve Big Weenie. I learned scampering much easier than spying.
What are all these pictures of you kissing a JV basketball player?
I started dating JV basketball player after our chemistry on stage.
You were supposed to start dating Clarence Thomas. You were supposed to infiltrate the Supreme Court. What? This looks like high school productions.
I had to develop my CV in order to get into high performing art school, and then have a little bit of a freshman crisis and switch over into law. But I got carried away with love with JV basketball player Reg.
I swear, you keep screwing up like this, I might let Dimitri go on one of these missions.
What?
I just might.
Dimitri.
Please, I want to go on the mission.
Dimitri, I don't think you're cut out for it.
I think I can do it.
Dimitri, we're going to give Ivan his seventh or eighth chance.
Oh, not again. I'm going to tell my mom.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast, where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Ashley, you are up first. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm going to talk about when my parents got divorced, sort of like finding out about that. So I was in, it was the summer after first grade, and my parents called me into the living room and they were both crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I think they told me first. My sister was at her friend Janelle's. And so they sat me down. I was like, oh no, did Granny die? Granny was my great grandmother. And they're like, no. And then they just told me like, oh, we're getting a divorce, whatever. And I was like sobbing and hysterical. I mean, I was a very dramatic child. So I was just like, you know, I mean, it was a dramatic moment, but I was also just sobbing and sobbing and throwing myself on the ground and so upset, like, oh no, everything's horrible. And then my sister comes home from her friend Janelle's. My sister's 2 years younger than me, and they tell her, and she's just like, okay, can I go back to Janelle's? Because she just didn't understand, you know, she's like entering kindergarten.
Wait, she was younger than you?
Yeah, she's...
Oh,
she's,
I thought you were... Got it.
So I was going into second grade. She was going into... She was going into kindergarten. No, she was going into first grade. That's right. She was 1 year in school behind me, but 2 years younger.
Got it.
So anyway, she was just like totally whatever. And then she was this happy-go-lucky child, and I was this very like sobby child. And so in second grade... And I think in first grade too, I'm very tenderhearted, always have been. And I would just cry all the time. Like anything, like I never got in trouble, but if I ever got in trouble, like, oh, you're talking too much or you're this or that, I'd start crying. And so I don't know if my teacher, Miss Morrison, who was who didn't like me very much. She started sending me to our elementary school had a guidance counselor, I guess, or a counselor. And his name was Dr. Ziegler. And she started sending me to his office to talk about what was going on with my parents and stuff. Cause my dad had moved out. So it was like a big, you know, shift and transition in the home. And, Dr. Ziegler, he was nice and I liked him, but I look back on it and like one of the things, it was me, this other kid, Jason, and sometimes this other girl, but I can't remember her name because she didn't come that much. But he made us all write, all of our parents were getting divorced because it was the 70s and that's what people did. And I mean, they still do it to this day. But it seemed very popular in the 70s. He made us all write the word divorce on a piece of paper and tear it up. Like that was like this big therapeutic moment or something. He was like, okay, we're all going to write divorce on a piece of paper. And now I want you to all tear it up. And your anger has dissipated. Goodbye. And I remember even as a 7-year-old child being like, huh? Like, what the yeah. hell are you talking about? That was a piece of paper. Like, and then that was it. We never went back to Dr. Ziegler after that. He was just like, they tore up the paper with the word they didn't like on it. Everything's fine now. My work here is done. That's public school in Georgia for you, I guess. That was my therapy.
And whoa.
And then, you know, it's so weird, too, as a little kid, when your parents get divorced, the things you hear, the things you remember. Like, I remember this friend of my mom's one time, because, like, you know, my mom was working, and so we would have to always get rides from other people and after school or, like, if we were going to church choir or whatever. And so I remember this one time, this lady driving us, and she was just like, well, I was like, oh, thank you so much for the ride or whatever. And she's like, well, I mean, I know y'all are from a broken home, so I feel like I've got to do whatever I can to help. And I remember being like, broken home, and thinking very literally the way children do. Like, is there? And so I asked my mother, I'm like, what's wrong with our house? And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, Miss Jana said that we had a broken home. And she was like, oh, God, what an idiot. You know, she just like went off on her. And she was like, she's just talking about the fact that you're divorced, that your parents are divorced. It's not a big deal. And just whatever. Blah, blah. Her parents were divorced, too, and had like my mother's parents. And so it was a much more contentious one. So I think she was like, this has been smooth sailing. You should have zero problem with this. Right. My situation was a nightmare. Yours has been a breeze. So, yeah.
I figure if your grandparents got a divorce, right?
My grandparents were divorced. Yeah.
It was much more rare back when they did it.
Much more rare.
I'm assuming.
And in fact, the situation was my granddaddy had started, he had just basically taken off and he was in the town and he started dating this other woman who he eventually married. And one day wasn't paying alimony, child support. I think like very sporadically would come by and give some money, but basically was never going home. So we didn't think he would have to. And so one day he and what became my step-grandmother, Vivian, it was like, you know how like in the society page of a local paper, it'll say like, Ms. Vivian, whatever her last name had been, and Mr. Roy Green threw a engagement party for blah, 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 for her niece or something. And so my meemaw was like, okay, I want to get a divorce. So this is in South Alabama. This is in Opelika, Alabama in the 60s. She goes to a lawyer. She brings the thing from the paper and she's like, so this, my husband's been like out and about and like, here's the proof. Like they're together. Like these two are together. Can I please get a divorce? And she said he literally laughed in her face and was like, no, we don't. In Alabama, we don't give women divorces from their husbands. If he wants to get a divorce, you can get one. And eventually she was able to cajole him into getting one. But like,
good Lord.
Yeah. So she basically just got laughed out of the room. And
wait. This is like the paper or a lawyer?
The lawyer that she brought the paper with her that had the society clipping or whatever in it.
I get it.
Yeah. He just was like, it doesn't matter. You can have tons of proof. No one will grant you this divorce. That was
so I got lost on that in just the thing of like, so the announcement in the paper was your grandpa's engagement
It wasn't just his engagement. He was throwing a party with the woman he would later marry for her niece, like for her engaged. She was getting engaged. And he, like the way couples would throw a party for someone and they would say like, oh, these are the people, like meaning he paid for the party. And like, I'm sure he had nothing to do with any part of the party other than paying for it. There's no way he like did anything else beyond it. But it was proof like in the newspaper that like, her husband was dating someone else. Cause like, you don't just randomly and throw a party
Put that in the paper.
I know.
Oh yeah. I mean, I gotta say, he was a great granddaddy. He was wonderful to me and my sister. He was not a great dad to my mom, although in his later years they repaired that, and he was a horrible husband to my meemaw. But again, in the later years, he did a lot for her, helped her out in a lot of ways with different things. But he was kind of this wild man who like was a police officer who worked specifically because, you know, in Alabama is state run beverage. So all alcohol has to be bought at like a state store, the ABC, Alabama Beverage Control. Okay. So he worked busting up moonshine stills and busting people bringing in alcohol from outside of the state. Like that was his job as a cop. So he like would just drive around in his truck, look for smoke in the woods, pull over, tromp back in the woods and be like, all right, y'all got to tear down that still, take all their liquor, go home and drink it. But like, and then take them in to, I'm basically just the most Southern person in the world.
You are. It's amazing.
Yeah. What was the name of that town in Alabama?
Opelika. That's where I was born.
Okay. I just went through Southern Alabama.
Well, this is Southeast. So if you were in like by Mobile or Gulf Shores or Orange Beach or any of that, that's the West, Southwest.
I think I was right in the middle, but anyway.
That was in Auburn, which is right next. Auburn University is a big college that's right next to Opelika. And that's where my granddaddy lived and my meemaw lived in Opelika.
Gotcha.
Wow.
So this, the back to the, your therapy, or I guess you'd call it therapy.
Dr. Ziegler. Yeah.
Dr. Ziegler. this was like ordered by your teacher. I realize I'm just recapping this, but like, did this person, did Dr. Ziegler have any credentials, or was their whole job was just to be?
It's such a good question.
Like I don't know. It reminds me of like, sometimes like when you're a kid and you realize that like someone's bitten off more than they can chew or like I don't know.
Well, to this day, I mean, it wasn't until recently that I even remembered all that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I had to go to that counselor for a long time. And the cap off was that we tore up the piece of paper that said divorce on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why we had a counselor in elementary school. I guess you have to, but like never in any of my public school life growing up, we never had a nurse in school. Like I asked on Twitter not too long ago, I was like, did other people have a school nurse? Cause I always hear about it. Never had a school nurse, never, not once, but we had this counselor dude. We had him in middle school and in high school. I mean, high school is more normal, but again, it wasn't a thing where it was like, your teacher would send you there. And then I think he would maybe decide if you needed to be in like behavioral special ed or something. If you had like a,
gotcha.
I went to counseling cause my parents were divorced too. He was not a doctor, or he didn't ask us to call him Mr. Eklof, I think.
Was it at school?
Yeah, it was at school. And they brought like four or five of us, and like we just talked about, it's so funny because it was still rare enough that they could like grab all the kids whose parents had been divorced, like scoop us all up and put us in a room. And it wasn't even like a full-size classroom. It was like, grab Jake, Owen, a few others and put us in a room or whatever. And then it's like, you guys are okay. Just like everybody else. We pulled you out from the rest of the community. We were able to easily identify you and like talked about our parents being divorced or whatever. I've definitely been impacted by my parents being divorced, But almost that act made me think that I should be more affected by it than I was.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, is this a thing? Like, should I, am I not realizing this? Like, but we just played cards, I think, and like gambled with Skittles. That's all I remember doing. We like played Go Fish or something with Skittles.
They basically turned you into like old drunks. It's like, start gambling and eating candy. Yeah.
Look, your life path is pretty well set at this point. I'm talking real shit.
I just wanted to bring all of you girls into this room. Mm-hmm. As you know,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Brownie Troop 412 is just, we just always win everything, right? Like, we sell the most cookies, we help the most old people, we clean the most parks. And we're so excited to have Mindy and Caroline and Lena here this year, but the three of you are going through a divorce, right? Like, I mean, because it's not just your parents' divorce, it's a divorce with a family. And so we just want to make sure that you three feel, I don't know, not different than the rest of the girls, because you are different. All the girls know your parents are getting divorced. There are some of your parents now trying to date people in the Brownie group, you know. So, I feel like...
What did you say about the last thing?
That, well, that your father in particular was trying to date another, a Brownie mother in the group.
Wait!
She wasn't divorced. Her husband died. Now, see, that's something we can all get behind, right? A widower. That's a sad thing that just happens in nature.
Yeah, so whereas, sad.
Right? Whereas divorce is, I mean, let's be honest, selfish, right? So you come from selfish families. That doesn't mean you have to be selfish.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's selfish. I mean, to me, it's people have realized their love has come to the end of the road and they want to protect and do what's best for their children. And so they change and move on with their lives. I don't see that it's a problem. You know, I think it's perfectly reasonable in a lot of ways.
You do? Because that means they lied in front of God and the whole community. They said they'd be together forever. And now, oh, it's inconvenient. I've been married 20 years to a man that doesn't listen to me at all, and I've made it work. I am not a liar. That's all I'm saying. The three of you come from lying, selfish families, and I don't want you to feel different, even though you are.
Isn't it unhealthy to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't listen to you? I thought relationships were based on give and take.
It's communication is the cornerstone of any good relationship.
I mean, these are all lies. These are fairy tales your parents are telling you. That's not how it works. You start off that way until you sleep together. Then maybe you get pregnant really quick.
What?
And then you're with this person forever. And you know what? Maybe I don't like dark chicken meat. I like white chicken breasts, and I don't like it dry. And maybe the person you're with keeps giving you dark chicken meat, even though I've said it so many times, Bruce. I only like white breast meat, but do I divorce over it?
Why are you you just opened a window and you're smoking a cigarette. Is everything okay?
We're not supposed to smoke.
I'm an adult.
I don't think we're supposed to smoke in the fellowship hall.
You're not, but I can. But the point is, you're all brownies, so welcome. I just want you to know we're going to do a little exercise so you can fit in better with the other brownies. That's all. So
I feel like I fit in pretty good. My dad...
Too.
My dad's dating Melissa's mom, and now we got to go to Six Flags together.
How fun.
That's right.
It was so fun. And my dad says he sleeps better at night.
I guess he's a good liar. He sleeps on a bed of lies. I mean, if that's what you want to sleep on, I doubt that's what you want.
My mom's going back to college to finish her degree.
She's
pretty excited.
Talks about, oh God, I know. We all know she's going back. She's going to become a lawyer. Then maybe she'll become something else and change the world. Blah, 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 blah. You know, she never made it on the cheerleading squad. Just let you know that. She probably didn't tell you that. She couldn't do the splits.
Oh, well, okay. I don't think she wants to be an adult cheerleader, so I think she's okay
she
with it.
She couldn't be. If she wanted to be, she couldn't be an adult cheerleader. Cowboys is going to take your old, the regular. Everyone get out their papers. Everyone get out the papers I brought you. Get out your markers.
You just ran in and out of the room, and you're
kind of, it seems like you're doors. In a mental crisis a little bit.
A mental crisis? I am at the top of my game. I'm a 40-year-old woman, which means I'm very sexually aroused at all times. And maybe I don't have that much sex with Bruce, but you know what I have sex with? Myself.
Oh.
That's a gift to you. That's how you keep a marriage together. You have sex with yourself. Now get your markers out and your pencils. Souls and everything else I got you in the paper, and write down what your innermost feelings are. Write them down.
Okay.
Write them down.
Okay, we'll do it. There sure is a lot of lipstick on that photo of Timothy Chalamet on your desk.
He's too young for you. It's inappropriate.
Too young for a woman. I am at the peak. I just told you I am sexually aroused all the time. If Timothy Chalamet came in here right now, which could happen because I write him daily, we would have instantaneous sex.
That is stalking behavior. Also, you're no Tilda Swinton. You're not pulling 20 years younger than you.
Yeah, you're no Tilda.
If I hear that one more time, why does everyone keep telling me I'm no Tilda Swinton? I'm not trying to be. I'm a 5'2" Guatemalan woman. You think I'm going to compete with that Nordic woman? Listen, it takes all kinds of females, okay? You don't know what Timothy Chalamet likes. Write your words, write your feelings.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, who wants to go first?
Melissa should go first.
Okay. On my feelings, I put that I'm feeling reflective and forgiving of my parents, and supportive in their new journeys on their own, because I know that their love for me has not changed and my love for them has not changed.
It's all changed. They don't love you the same. You don't love them the same. Cut to 20 years from now, you're going to be in a relationship with some person that's going to not support you, and it's going to be because of this divorce. There, free therapy for you. Just, it's all changed. You're a different person. Change your name. Next.
Oh, well, I just had written down that I feel excited for what the future holds. Proud of my parents for striking out on their own and discovering who they are as individuals. And concerned for you and your clear mental breakdown.
What part of this is a mental breakdown?
You went running in and out of the room, slamming doors. You sounded like a crazy robot standing in front of a fan.
That is part of my HIIT workout. I have to get my heart rate up every couple of minutes and run in and outside and do some burpees. You don't know what it's like to be a 40-year-old woman.
You rolled my feelings up into a jazz cigarette.
You're welcome.
It stinks in here.
It stinks of truth. Proud of your mother, Martha. Your mother never shuts her mouth. We called her Mouthy Martha, and not because she's in a good, sexy way, in a annoying, I have a lot of things to say way. So there, that's what I say about your feelings. We're going to burn all these feelings in a minute. I'm going to light them on fire, but I'm forgetting. Go. I'm sorry.
I drew a picture of Tilda Swinton, and then I drew a picture of you. And I circled all the differences like in one of the highlights magazines.
We're like inside a nice little like neighborhood home on a cul-de-sac. I look out the window. Carol, would you look at that? The neighbors are getting divorced. That's the third one this month.
Gosh.
All the rage.
Well, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean we have to, Todd.
I'm just saying. We got an above ground pool because the neighbors did.
And look at how that turned out. The kids won't ever bring anyone over. They're embarrassed. That was a huge mistake.
Okay. That doesn't mean we want to give up. I'm just saying, you don't want to try out a divorce? You don't want to give it a shot? It seems popular.
Well, I mean, I'm not completely against it. You know, I like to go with the crowd when I can, but I just feel like we've been jumping into things way too quick. We need to take a second, take a seat, and figure out what needs to happen.
Of course.
Cut to two kids with their ears pressed against a door. God, they're even being agreeable about the proposition of getting a divorce.
They're so annoying. I know. Hate that. Oh, that's a pool above ground. Why do it's so embarrassing? Barry said, I have an above ground pool. That's like, I never shave my bush. He says like the same thing.
That's a lot for me to take in. I'm only eight. But
I just want them
to get divorced so I can talk to my friends about something.
I mean, I do too, but like they stink. They'll mess it up. They could have got a real pool, but they got an above ground pool. They're gonna mess up divorce too.
Cut back. Look, Todd. I mean, you make some great points because I would love to decorate a new apartment. I'll be honest. And if you got a new place, I'd decorate it for you, of course. So I mean, that is a point in the favor of divorce.
Absolutely. And we're not going to jump into it willy-nilly. We'll do our research, you know, just like with the above ground pool. We'll look at something that would be amicable for the both of us, possibly an affair, possibly maybe it's a fight over money.
Well, I love this affair thing. I've been thinking about doing that because I've had a lot of friends doing that. And that's a lot of fun.
It would give me an opportunity to trim my pubic hair instead of having a big bush, which I know you're fond of.
I really love a forest for the trees, if you know what I'm saying.
This talk gets them all hot and bothered, and they make love right then and there in their living room. We cut to after that. So,
I think this divorce talk is the best thing that's ever happened to our marriage, if I'm totally honest.
Wow.
You're a stallion.
Can you imagine doing this all the time? Divorce?
Oh, we got to bring it up every week. I mean, you really went the distance, and that doesn't.
You gave me a lot to work with, and I appreciate it.
Well, you are very kind. See, this is how it works.
This is nice. This is nice.
That's the kids. We got to do something about this. I photoshopped this receipt.
A receipt. You know, do you realize we sat here the whole time and listened to both of our parents have noisy sex for like a half hour? And
what were they doing?
Oh, Jesus. Paul, they were having sex. That's when Dad puts his penis inside Mom's vagina and they go back and forth. I don't know. And then Mom sometimes climaxes, but most of the time Dad has to do something else because she can't come from just a dick inside of her. Barry says that that's probably because Dad has a big bush. And now he has a big bush. I have a male bush.
Well, all I was going to say is we could leave a place, a receipt for a PlayStation 5 pre-order, and that would maybe piss Mom off. He slides it under the door. Cut back to the...
Uh-oh, I totally forgot the kids were here. Oh, they slipped us a note.
Oh, boy.
PlayStation 5 pre-order? What the hell's going on, Todd?
You tell me what the hell's going on. I don't know anything about that.
Don't lie to me.
Oh, don't talk to me that way. They start getting hot and bothered.
You know, I've got a lawyer I could put on speed dial.
Oh, do you? Well, good luck. I've talked to every lawyer in town, so you better be a good one because you can't talk to him after I have.
Oh, boy, you... bad boy.
Oh, boy.
We cut to the kids behind the door.
This is the...
What have you done now?
I don't know what I've done.
You made them have sex again. Now we're trapped here again. Listen to our parents having sex again.
Should we just stop listening? Or I guess we got to see how this
pans out. How can we? We kind of have to listen, right? I mean, it's, we have to. It's almost like it's in the contract. Kids and parents.
Cut back. I can't believe you got it up again that fast. This is a whole new chapter in our marriage.
I mean, I can't either. I wish the above ground pool went up that quick.
Oh, God. Yeah, it took forever. You remember that?
It really did.
And we really thought something great was going to come after it. And of course, now it's just the shame of family.
We learned a lot from that. The divorce is not going to go that way.
You are exactly right, Todd.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I love you more than the day I married you, and I'm going to love you even more than that the day I divorce you.
Hey, I can't get it up again, but if you want me to go down on you, I'm happy to.
Always do.
What does she mean? What is he talking about? Go down on what? Go down?
Look at my phone. Look at my phone. I'm going to get Pornhub up. I can't with you anymore. Look at this. Just look at this. Don't ask any questions either, because I don't want to tell you about it. Do you see what he's doing to that woman? Just look at her face. Don't look at him. Look at her face. Look at the woman's face.
Wow, they got an in-ground pool at that place. Okay, so you're upset. You're upset with me. Yes, I drained our bank account, and I went to Las Vegas, Nevada, and I put our life savings on the Denver Nuggets to cover in last night's Western Conference Final game. And they didn't cover, did they? Because they're playing the Lakers. And
no, they didn't. Everyone knows they wouldn't cover it. What is wrong with you?
Well,
Seamus, what is wrong with you?
Nothing is wrong with me, okay? I live to gamble.
You're going
to
go against LeBron? You're a gambler, but you're a stupid gambler. Stupid gambler.
Well,
fantastic.
I see that you're mad. And what I'm going to do here.
I'm disappointed. If you brought me to Vegas, I would have done it right. You know I'm the better gambler.
You're not a better gambler.
I put all our other money on the third game on the Celtics. And guess what? They won. So I guess I am a better gambler. Also, I wouldn't go against LeBron. Dumb. You're so dumb.
You're not going against LeBron. You're going against the short bench. Okay? They have a short bench. What I've done here is I've written the word husband gambling on a piece of paper over and over and over again. Gambling problem, husband gambling. What I'd like you to do is tear it apart. Tear it apart.
Fine. Here I go. I'm tearing it apart.
Great.
Let's let
bygones be bygones.
Bygones be bygones.
I feel like you processed that pretty good. You took out your anger on the idea of me being a bad gambler.
Is this what they teach you in therapy school? Is this your therapy now?
Don't diminish therapy school. I am learning a lot.
Are you? You go down to the church rec room. It's in a church rec room, your therapy school. I mean, it can't be a real
school. It's got to be somewhere. You always say a church rec room is a bad place to be.
We cut to Seamus in the church rec room at his therapy school. So tearing up the paper didn't work, huh? Didn't work well?
No, she was furious at me. Huh. And she had counterpoints as to my gambling technique.
Huh. That is not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Listen,
not according to the book.
That's what I've thought. But I mean, like, I'm here for answers. I mean,
you must have did it wrong.
I did it wrong.
Did she cut the paper or did she tear the paper? Because cutting the paper, that will do nothing.
Oh, good.
She's
point.
Gotta
good
rip
point.
It. She's good gotta rip it with her point. Own hands.
You gotta listen to Dr. Wayne. He knows.
A guy comes out of the bathroom. I clogged the toilet, but don't worry.
Great work.
It smells in here.
Not a problem anymore. What did I miss?
Write smells on a piece of paper and rip it up if you think it smells, and it'll stop smelling immediately.
I'll do that.
Do your own homework.
Yeah.
I will. I mean, I'm doing it.
You're not retaining the lessons is what I feel like, Seamus.
No.
I really am trying, okay? It was really hard with my wife.
I mean, Rita, a while back, found out she was pregnant. She was unhappy about it. She wrote the word pregnant on a piece of paper. She ripped it up. Now she's got a big old belly, but she's not pregnant anymore.
That's right. I'm not. I just have a tumor. I have a really big tumor that moves around. And sometimes people try to touch it, but I say, don't touch my tumor.
Mm-hmm. Great, Rita. You're nailing it.
Thank you. I might need someone to drive me to the hospital when my tumor starts moving in about a month, but whatever, I'll call you because you guys are my best friends and support.
Well, I can definitely do it because I got a piece of paper ripped up that has DUI on it. So I will happily drive you to the hospital.
Exactly.
Well, we all have done that, of course.
Yeah. You all can't be in therapy school until you've ripped up a paper that says DUI on it.
I have a outside issue, or this is, I guess, an instance. Let me just bring it up. My wife has discredited this very school a few times, saying that we meet in a church rec room and that you've written, you know, the word I'm a doctor on a little sign you hang around your neck and you painted a little mustache on your
on a lanyard. Yeah.
Okay. She calls that into question a little bit about your credentials or why we aren't in like a clinic of some kind or a school setting, why we stayed after an AA meeting to do this.
Well, I've got a diagnosis. I don't even have to meet your wife. She's a bitch. She's a bitch.
We see a little fire. It started in like the wastebasket. It's like starting to smoke.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, guys, tell everybody, like, write it on a few pieces of paper because this thing's growing. Throw it directly into the thing that doesn't exist anymore, too.
Fire, no fire.
No fire.
Guys, are you writing fire or are you writing something
else?
I'm writing it.
No fire.
Maybe I don't like to be micromanaged.
don't write that. That's work. We got to deal with the fire.
I'm running out of paper. I'll just fan. I just cardboard.
Yeah.
I'll just fan all the other paper.
Look, you want is skeptical because she's afraid that you're going to leave her because you're going to become such a badass therapist like me, Dr. Wayne.
We cut to the fire department. They answer the phone. What? A fire at St. Augustine's Church. We'll be right on it. Hangs up. Boys, get it.
Yes.
Let's get to work.
Yeah.
Let's get to work. We got a fire at St. Augustine's Church.
Oh no.
Okay, well, let me just write DUI on a piece of paper.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Jess, you are up. What would you like to talk about?
Yes. I feel like I guess it's my own life, so it's not double dipping, but this is like one of my favorite stories. So I think I did it like as a, who cares why I did
Please.
It. Yeah, I'm just going to tell. So when I lived in New York, this is, I don't even know how long, at least a decade ago, I went through a phase where I was like, I'm going to be really like badass and not wear underwear. That was my idea. So,
like under,
and you think about it, yeah, like not going to wear underwear with skirts and everything, not going to wear it. Not when I improvise. So every time I get thrown on the floor, someone have to lift me up because I couldn't, because the stage in New York used to also be right at people, could be right where you are. And I'd be like stuck there and be able to help me up. They didn't know I was going through my badass phase, but I wouldn't get off the floor because I couldn't get up because I wear a skirt and no underwear. You guys, that was really smart.
To do an improv show, you would wear a skirt with no underwear?
Yep. Girl.
Oh my God, Jess.
I was,
that's living, almost like
I was
punk
wild.
Rock. It's like Gigi Allen improv.
Wild. Except for that I wouldn't show it. I was like punk rock, but then like, don't tell anybody. So what's the point? Like literally no one knew. They're like, Jessica, why are you still sitting on stage? And I'd be like, you have to get me up because I couldn't get myself up. My team was like, stop. So anyways, cut to, my voice, I got a, what's it called? A node on my vocal cord.
No.
From a cold. It was like a dripping that happened on my cord. It's very rare. So I went to go see this doctor. My friend, humble brag again, is a Broadway star. And she was like, go see this guy. So I go to see him. And she had called and left me a message, but I didn't get it in time. And she was said, whatever you do, don't let him put the camera down your throat. but I didn't get it in time, so I let him do it. And then it came back, and he's like, you have a node on your throat. We're going to give you cortisone shots, and you can't talk for a week, and we're going to see if it comes down on its own. Because he couldn't tell if I had made the sound, like if I was doing something vocally wrong, so I was I made the node, or was it from like a cold? And then and he also was hoping the node would go away on its own. They wouldn't have to do any operating. This is the same doctor that is like Bruce Springsteen's doctor, Mariah Carey's doctor. Like the whole place was just CDs. He's also notoriously Julie Andrews' doctor, which is the one where they said he hurt her chords that she can't sing anymore. So he's like both. He's like the best and the worst, right?
Did you say that your friend warned you not to get the camera?
Yeah, but I did.
Okay.
But I'll get
is that coming
that.
Back?
Yeah, the end of that is just because it costs $800 and no one covers it. So, and of course, that's when I had to call my mom. I'm like, help me. But this is where the funny part comes in. It's because it was during my no underwear, skirt wearing, he's going to give me a shot of cortisone in my butt. He turns around to get the cortisone shot ready. If I was a smart person, I would have pulled my skirt down from the top, like where my waist down. Nope. I lifted it up from the bottom, leaned over. So when he turned around, he was like the whole show. He screamed. He screamed out loud. He went, oh, I screamed. He then was like, pull your skirt down. He's like, just pull it from the top. Pull it from the top. He was so upset. I was like, also like, what did I do wrong? Because I'm dumb, apparently. And I was also in shock about the node. Because I was like, oh, what happens if I lose my voice? The woman that doesn't even do musical improv. I never sing. Like, I sing to my children and they're like, please stop. So I'm like, oh, my voice, my voice, my voice. And then he gave me the shot of cortisone. I went home. It was a week. And I ended up having enough surgery. It all worked out fine. Great. Cut to 5 years later, my friend's doing a cabaret at Feinstein's, and the doctor walks in, the vocal doctor with his wife, and I think, oh, I'll say hi, and he won't remember me, whatever. So I went over, I was like, oh my God, hi, it's Jessica. He immediately was like, oh my God, yes, turned to his wife and said, this is the girl I talked about. So I have become the story he tells all the time. Because, and they both started laughing, and he was like, I'm so glad you're okay. I'm so glad we're here to see the show. See you later. And I was like, okay. I mean, I should be that story, right? He literally turns around. He is at, like, he's basically inside me. He was just like, but he's screaming. Am I screaming? He also is the doctor that's in Madonna's Truth or Dare movie.
Mm. Wait, he's like an actor as a doctor?
Well, no, that's the documentary.
I had a node too. And had to get scoped numerous times. This is when I worked at Disney, and it hurts for one. They thought I was going to have surgery, but I did not have to have surgery. Thank God. Cause it was right around the time Julie Andrews had that surgery. And I was like, darn, that would really suck if I can't sing. But I was on vocal rest for a month and it went away on its own, which my mother attributed to praying. I'm like, no, I was silent for a freaking month. Like, I get the credit on this one. Sorry, God. Like, it was hard.
It is hard. You have to write everything down and bring.
Yeah, that's how my husband and I fell in love. We wrote notes. I couldn't talk, and then he was like, "Oh, you talk? No, thanks. No, leave." But that is like, we fell in love by writing notes. Wow. Me writing him notes.
How did that start?
We worked together at Disney, and so, like, because I was on vocal rest, I emailed him. We were just talking, and so I would just have to write these notes to him, and then they started being long, and then I started doing it via email, and that was, so he could talk, but I would have to write everything.
Wow.
But I think because it was, like, complicated to have a conversation, I mean, we had known each other already, but that, it was like I had no one to talk to, and I think he was like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you. You seem nice.
We go open on a doctor's office. We see a patient and a doctor talking. So anyways, my tummy kind of hurts, and I thought that I would just come in and get it checked out. I don't mean to be a worry wart, but the doctor turns away, like, get a stethoscope. And it turns back and the patient's completely nude. Anyways,
What?
Check me out, Doc. I don't leave any page unturned here.
This is a consult. You can put all your clothes back on. You weren't even in the little robe. Like, this was just a conversation. I was going to leave the room, let you put the robe on, and then I'd come back and investigate. But
I wore a tearaway suit I got from my brother who works in Vegas. So I just thought I'd cut right to the chase.
Hold on.
Is this bad? This is inappropriate? Oh, I thought I was...
Did you come in here under false pretenses just to have an excuse to use a tearaway suit? Don't lie to me.
I wouldn't... You think that I came in here feigning a tummy ache so I could tear off a suit, play a Cisco song, and dance around here?
Yeah. It's the third time it's happened to me this week. And I don't know why. Yes, my name is Dr. Voyeur, but that is my name. That is not my preoccupation. I'm a serious doctor.
So you don't want me to play the thong song? Or
no, and you're not even wearing a thong, so what is the relevance?
I didn't want to play Wild Wild West. That seemed way weirder.
You are stark Billy Bollocks in front of me, wanting me to figure out what is wrong with your tummy, which, P.S., you're a grown-ass person. It is a stomach.
Well, it's a tummy ache. I don't know.
We cut to Josh's character at the dentist. Okay, have a seat in this chair, and I'm just going to go get a little... I'm going to fill those little cups with fluoride, and we'll put those in your mouth. Okay, turn my back. What the hell?
What?
You had a lead vest on for the x-rays. How'd you get out from under that thing and you got nothing on?
I want it to be, you don't want it closed to get in the way of the dental x-ray.
They're not. I was going to put the fluoride in and take an x-ray in the other room.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Put your clothes back on and put that leather vest, that lead vest back on.
Oh, excuse me, Dr. Peepers. Oh, sorry. Yes. I'll let you get back to what you do best. Oh, boy.
Yes, I know. Dr. Peepers, okay?
Don't want me to... No. Are you serious? Your name's Dr. Peepers?
It's Dr. Peepers. Yeah.
You have an ad in the paper that says, come on in, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Bring what you got, I'll check it out. You don't want me to...
It could.
You had this genuine record sitting right above the.
Yeah,
the
I know. Player. And the little peas and peepers are glasses, and my eyes are the little E's. I know, but I'm still just a dentist, okay? Now, I put on that lead vest. I'm going to go behind this wall and have the little glasses come out from the painting of George Washington and look at you while the x-ray gets taken. And I don't want any funny business while I do it.
Wait, I think I was wrong about this place.
That's a Josh and his temp hiring place. Oh, so just leave your resume there. Let me look around this file cabinet. Oh, so many files. All right, here we go. And here I tried.
Peaches and cream. Did I do something wrong?
Usually I would say yes, but today... You can't type, but I think I have a job for you.
Oh, thank God. I need to get health insurance quick. I got a tummy ache. I got a toothache.
Excuse me, Ms. Looky Lou. Your the next applicant is in the waiting room.
All right. Well, tell them, Charlotte, they can wait a minute. I know. Do you see?
It seems the job is filled. Congratulations, Ms. Looky Lou.
Thank you. We were looking for an Ariel for these birthday parties forever. I think we found her.
A bunch of motorcycles pull up. Hey, welcome to the... We're happy to have you as part of the motorcycle gang. But some of the fellas that I noticed You could see your little undies sticking out from your leather pants.
Whoa, you wearing undies, bro? Come on, we're bikers.
Oh, you were. Well, come on.
Oh, well, I just, first of all, they're little undies. First, that's the first of all. I'll give them the juniors department at
charge. I'm calling them that.
Okay, bro. Sorry, bro. My bad. I'm new here. Second of all, I chafe. I mean, right? I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
Right?
We all chafe. That's what makes it badass.
Okay. Yeah, you chafe at first, but then you get a nice callus all around your junk and your thighs. You want to have your scrot and your dick as calloused as possible. Nobody wants that soft.
I think, well, my woman does, you know. She likes everything soft.
What? Yeah, what? Your woman wants you to have a soft undercarriage?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me clarify. Did you say woman or mother?
What the fuck is...
I don't know. I misheard somebody here.
No. Listen, she's my woman.
Okay.
I call her mother sometimes. Ooh. It's a thing we do. It's not weird. She calls me Uncle Chalamet.
Uncle Chalamet?
And that's it. Uncle Chalamet. And I call her mother. So that's how we do it. Anyways, the point is she wants Uncle Chalamet to stay soft.
I can't believe you managed to lock down a sweet piece of trim having a nice soft underbelly like that.
I don't believe it, frankly.
Oh, my woman would kick me out of bed so fast if I wasn't red, raw, and chafed in my downtowns.
A bottle of baby powder falls out of that biker's pants. What is this?
Oh, sorry.
What is this, Terry?
It's just baby powder. It's just general, just baby
powder. Are you using this on your bottom?
Just a touch. A little bit of it. I just need it.
This is unbelievable.
Wow. You can share it. Who wants to try it? Who wants a little baby powder
get
on their butt?
Get out of here.
Please tell me you are sneaking cocaine in that baby powder container. That is actually cocaine and not baby powder for your bottom.
I mean, you could try to snort it. It might hurt. It wouldn't get you high, but it would get your butt soft. I'm just telling you guys, if you just want to try it.
If Lucifer's lad sees us with this bottle of baby powder, we're toast.
We're toast.
We can't let anybody know about this. Here, God, he pulls down this guy's pants a little bit. Oh, that's the most supple bottom I've ever seen in my life.
Wait a minute.
Johnson, man.
And this t-shirt, this doesn't come down. Don't tell me you're going to bed naked and not wearing just a t-shirt. Just a big t-shirt.
Nope,
the most badass thing you could do is just wear a big t-shirt with your raw butt next to your wife who's in a thick, thick wool nightgown.
Yeah, how do you show that you're the man of the house if you're not Porky Pig in it? There's just no way. We ride hogs and we sleep like Porky Pig, the greatest hog of all.
Are you Porky Pig in it?
No, man, my mom, I mean, / woman, she's my mom woman. My mom woman likes me naked.
We're not talking about mom woman. That makes sense to me.
I'm not upset about that at all. I just wanted clarity.
Yeah, we're talking about what you wear to Betty Bye.
Nothing. I wear buff.
Oh, my God.
I saw you beat up 6 of those Lucifer's lads, and I thought, this is the toughest SOB I've ever seen. And now, I don't know. Now, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, maybe it's time for you to join up with the Devil's Dandies. I don't know if you're really right for us anymore.
Yeah, join up with the Devil's Dandies. They're like all that Cracker Jack baby powder.
Underwear stuff.
I don't know if you're right for Beelzebub's bubs.
Beelzebub's bubs.
But this has been my dream. You guys know. And I did beat those guys up. And I'll beat them up again. I am a deep bub. I am the deepest of bubs. You know that. I am a Beelzebub. I can't even say it anymore.
I don't know what to think.
Man, that's soft bottom. I can't even imagine what that taint's got going on.
Let's check his taint.
Let's check his taint. Oh, let me get in there. Oh, so much bush. Oh.
God, this is a lot of bush.
Yeah. Oh. A lot of powder down here, too.
That taint is soft and smooth. I could eat spaghetti off of that taint.
We cut to two kids with their ears against the door to the garage where these bikers are.
I thought you said your dad was like a badass biker.
He is. I think he is. I don't know. I guess he and his biker friends just check each other's taints and powder up. I don't.
I mean, is that what it means to be a man? My dad moved out because my parents got divorced. I don't know what it is to be a man anymore.
I don't either, but I think this is it.
Well, let's start checking tape.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on The Meat. That was a blast. Thanks
so
for playing
fun.
With us.
That's very
so
fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It was really, really great.
No singing, but we did talk about
you did a little lady. Singing. You did mm-hmm. a little bit of singing.
Oh, yeah,
you
I did.
Peaches
I did
and Cream.
Like the Beck, was that the Beck song?
No.
Or was it a different song?
I don't remember. I'm thinking of a, I was just trying to think of a sexy song. And I remember there was a song called Peaches and Cream when I was.
Jagged Edge or something like that. I think Peaches and Cream is quite the innuendo.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that as a kid. I was like, well, they're just like dessert.
No, me either. Into it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's go around real quick and we'll let you all plug something or let our audience know where they can find you on the internet or wherever you like. So let's start with you, Jess. What would you like to plug? Oop.
I will plug another podcast that my husband and I do called Last One to the Party. And you can find that wherever you will find podcasts. I'm cool. Great at selling this. But it's about
it?
If you're the last one. It's about like, and you guys should be on it. We need people. I would love to have it. It's like during quarantine, we realized that I had never seen Beverly Hills Cop. I had never seen Risky Business. It's like a bunch of stuff. So I was the last one to the party. So then we would discuss it afterwards. So my husband didn't know Patti LuPone before me, which is a shame. And then we both watched Steven Universe. He watched Widows. But he's had other people on that never seen The Godfather or The Sting.
Oh,
or,
I love that.
Like, I never watched Seinfeld. We just did that. So it's like people like catching up to stuff when everyone, the whole world is like, we had someone who did the Titanic, which was amazing. Never seen it. And then we have people, if it's big like that, we had someone else came on because she loved the Titanic. And the episode afterwards, she rebutted everything said about the Titanic. And
I did, that's I really did funny.
About, Patti LuPone, I got a couple things wrong. So I think all of our dear friends might know him. John Flynn wrote me a long email telling me everything I got wrong about Patti LuPone. And I said, you need to come on the podcast. And he did. And then he came on and like rebutted. It was amazing.
Beautiful.
So I invite you, if you ever hear one and you're like, that's not right, come on and like have your opinion. We love it. So anyways, last one to the party. Awesome. Thank you.
I just watched the Terminator movies and the Alien movies for the first time.
I've never seen the Terminator either.
Well, it's pretty good.
We'll have to have you on. I'll watch it. Yeah.
Cool. Ashley?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ashley J. Ward and on Instagram at Ashley Jean Ward. So the mystery of the J solved.
Awesome. Jake?
Go to weimprov.org if you'd like to check out a workshop, or twitch.tv/weimprov if you'd like to check out a show. And I'm at Wake Up with Jacob sporadically.
I'm at Josh Simpson on Instagram and Twitter now. I changed my Twitter name, so nice. I don't have Mr. Josh Simpson. It's outdated. not really, but Josh Simpson is where you can find me. JoshSimpson.biz, and I have a YouTube channel called Lazy Susan. And you know what? My girlfriend Lanny teaches free yoga classes, and y'all should check that out. Ooh. If you want to do yoga.
Yeah,
she's awesome. Lanny's awesome.
Thank you. She thinks you're awesome too. And that's it. The Meat is on all the social medias at The Meat Improv. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov. And I think that's it. Yeah, check our social, check the Meat socials for the Blair's fundraiser as well. Cool. Thank you so much for listening. Be safe out there. We'll see you next time on
The Meat.
The Meat.